The Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study. And number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever. We're instructed in Romans 3:4, let God be true, but every man a liar. We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher, Pastor Thomas Bruchet.
Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, the Bible is a book in which God has given to us to guide us through life. The book of Proverbs is a book in the Bible where Solomon, the great king of the nation of Israel, given special wisdom and revelation from God, has written some statements in this book that are just guides to our life. What a proverb is a short saying that's crafty. It's a truth that's reduced down to just a few sentences and a few words. And the book of Proverbs is an interesting book in that it takes very important things about our life, whether it's marriage or whether it's going out to work or whether it's raising children, whether it's the path of the evil way and the temptations that lay before us, whether it's the right way to follow the Lord, as we're learning in this verse of Scripture. There's little bits of wisdom that are given here from Solomon to guide us through life. And the key to all of it seems to be Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, that says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. When you say all thine heart, you realize that there's a whole commitment to God to trust Him. And it also says, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. The entrance of all of the wisdom of God begins with our heart being sensitive to the things of God and our willingness to trust God, to trust His goodness to us. The book of Ecclesiastes is a book where Solomon begins to view life apart from God. And the conclusion of the book of Ecclesiastes, he says this concerning wisdom. He said, the words of the wise are as goads. And what a goad is, it's a stick that had a point on the end of it, that if you were keeping sheep, you would take a goad and you'd hit the sheep a little bit with the point of the stick, and it would cause the sheep to get in line or to get moving or to be in the right place. So you just keep poking them with it. And, you know, the Bible says the words of the wise. And Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs as a wise man. The Bible uses the whole Scriptures as being the Word of God, the wise Word of God to us. And the words of the wise are as goads. There's nothing worse than reason when it's against you. It's nothing worse than when you find yourself not doing the right thing and someone tells you what is the right thing and then tells you that if you did it, things would be better in your life. And you know down inside that it's true. And so the wisdom of the wise is like a wise is like a goat. It just nails you and just makes you get right and go down the right path. The words of the wise are as goads, as nails fastened by the masters of assembly, which are given from one shepherd. I always like that phrase, nails fastened by the masters of assembly. The guys who know how to build things, the guys who know how to put things together where they don't come apart. The words of the wise are not only like goads that poke you and get you in line, but they're something that's steadfast, something that you can hang your hat on, something that if you hung on it, it would support you. It's something that's steadfast, unmovable. And it's as nails fastened by the masters of assembly. It's going to stick, it's going to hold together, and your life will be held together by following the wisdom of God. He says, as nails fastened by the masters of assembly, which are given from one shepherd. And you know, you probably think of this Bible as a book that's written by 40 different men over thousands of years, 4,000 year period of time. And while men were involved, and while there was a great deal of time involved that passed during the time of the writing of this book, Solomon says that the wisdom of the wise is given to us from one shepherd. Now Solomon, he was the son of David. David is the one who wrote Psalms chapter 23 that says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Solomon knew from a very young time in his life that the one shepherd that gave wisdom is God himself. And in light of that truth, it says in verse 12, "And further, by these my son be admonished." That is, the words of the one shepherd, which are wise words that will get you in line and give your life stability and support and prosperity in the sense that the things of God do prosper your life. Not prosperity in the sense of riches and all of that, because that's just going after materialism rather than the things that are really true of true value. But it says, "And further, by these, my son, be admonished, and of the making of many books there is no end, and much study is weariness of the flesh." Now, I've always known that to be true, and I always like this verse of Scripture that identified it as being true, and that is that the writing of many books, there's no end, and books are being published every day. Just think of how many books have to be in a library. You got all the books that were ever written, and all the books that are being written, and all the books that will be written. Books, the writing of books, there's no end. And if you had to go to all them books to find out how to live, and to know exactly what life is about and what brings stability in life, you'd be reading, and as a result it says, "Much study is a weariness to the flesh." And you'd just wear yourself out reading, trying to get all the knowledge of men who wrote things. But he said that in light of the fact that all the wisdom of God is given by one shepherd. And I do believe that what Solomon is saying in these verses, that you go out there and read all the books, but don't go by reading all them books. There's one book, one shepherd, that's given us wisdom. And God has done what Proverbs did. Proverbs took the wisdom of Solomon and condensed it down and gave it to us in 31 chapters. But the whole Bible is the wisdom of God condensed down and given to us in 66 books, where we can know the things of God, what He has planned from eternity past to eternity future, what our involvement in that is, and His great wisdom that's going to execute and bring it all about, and how it's going to be done, is all written there in this short little book. Now, it's long when you consider what books are like, but when you consider that the God of the universe, the God who created all things, the great wisdom of God, He's confined to one book and given to us for us to know the wisdom. That's a marvelous truth. Now, that one wisdom, Solomon writes in the book of Proverbs, and he says things like this in chapter 2 of Proverbs, verse 1. "My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of His mouth, cometh knowledge and understanding." And as you read down through Proverbs, you begin to realize that to know God and to know the wisdom of God, that you're going to have to dig. And this Bible is like a treasure chest that the Bible is telling us to dig out the understanding of God and search for it like you would go search for a golden treasure. Someone gave you a map and said there was a buried treasure somewhere near your neighborhood. You wouldn't spend any time taking that map, trying to figure out where the landmarks are, finding the place where that treasure is, and digging all day and all night if you had to dig up that treasure. And what the Bible is saying, what Solomon is saying, the wisdom that Solomon is passing on, is to take the wisdom that this Bible has and search for it just as you would search for silver, a hidden treasure. Why? Because there's treasure in this book. not money treasure. There's wisdom in this book that's of greater value. The Bible talks about wisdom as being greater than rubies, the price of rubies. And so it tells you how to do it, too. It says, so if thou would incline thine ear unto wisdom. First thing that happens is you're going to have an ear that wants to hear the things that God has to say. So you're going to have to decide, I'm going to start listening to God. And then it says, and apply thy heart to understanding. So you're not just going to hear, you're going to spend some time considering what God has to say to understand it. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge. So the way it's going to start is you're going to have to hear, and you're going to have to go seek out the knowledge of God, and then from that knowledge get understanding. It says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lift up thy voice for understanding. See, that understanding is going to come from God. So you're going to read the Scriptures, and then you're going to lift up your voice and say, Lord, what does it mean? And you begin to search that way. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hidden treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. And that's the beginning of knowledge, according to chapter 1. And find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now I look at that verse 6 and I say, boy, the Bible says God gives wisdom, and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. That means that out of his mouth, and that's what Scripture is. Scripture is God breathed. That's the inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It came out of the mouth of God. These verses tell us that knowledge and understanding came out from the mouth of God, but it's God who gives wisdom. And what I understand that, I understand that there's the first thing that's got to happen is you got to hear. But then from hearing, you gain some knowledge. From knowledge, you gain understanding. And from understanding, you walk in wisdom. Now, you know, when you think about the difference between knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, it happened, and I don't know if you're mechanically inclined or not, but way back when I was young, and I was in auto mechanics in high school, the first thing that they did in teaching us about an engine, they told us the very basic things about an engine. And you know, you could take an engine and you could take a course about engines and you can study and name all the parts of the engine. Pistons, camshaft, rings, you know, just on and on. You can block and valves, all the rest. You can name all the parts of an engine. But you know, you can name all the parts of an engine and that doesn't help you become a mechanic whatsoever. It just makes you sound smart. What you have to have, as well as knowledge, you have to have understanding. And what they did in auto shop, they began to explain to us the way an engine works. And the relationship between electrical, compression, and then gas. And between those three things, with the proper timing, an engine runs. Now, I don't want to get into explaining all how it works to you, and perhaps you already know, but perhaps you don't. But what happens then is now all of a sudden you've got all these parts that you've memorized the parts, but now you begin to understand how they work. When you understand how they work and your car breaks down, you know what you know immediately to do? Am I not getting spark? Am I not getting compression? Or am I not getting gasoline? And then you immediately start narrowing down how to fix the car. Because why? Not only do you have knowledge, you have some understanding. But you know, after you have that kind of understanding, there comes a time where then you begin to realize, you know, this is what makes a motor turn. And you know, I can use a motor for several things. I can use a motor to draw water out of a lake and pump and water my lawn. I can use a motor, of course, in a car engine to drive me someplace that I want to go. And then you begin to think of all the ways that you can use that understanding that you have and apply it in practical everyday ways in your life to help your life be more prosperous, to be more fruitful, and to serve you, that knowledge to serve you. And that what that is that practical application of knowledge is what wisdom is. The Bible says that this wisdom of God is something that has to be searched out. And you know, if you'll take your life and you'll spend some time in God's Word, first you got to be willing to hear. And most people, that's where they end. They don't even get to step one. But after they're willing to hear, if they're willing then to get the knowledge, start reading it, start getting the information, building it in your mind. Then after you get enough Bible information, then you start understanding some things. Oh, I understand what God is doing. I understand why the world is like what it is. Now I understand that I need to be saved. I understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross to be my Savior, that He paid for all my sins. I understand that that is the way that God's justice is satisfied, and that if I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, God will be delighted with me. God will see me as righteous. God will forgive me of my sins. I understand what Jesus Christ did. And then after you have that understanding, then you start using wisdom with that understanding to do what it said in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. See, that's a strange thing when you think of that verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. You would think that God, who created all things, is a God who would want us to use our rationale and figure things out. But that's not what God gave us brains to do. God did not give us brains to live independently from Him. What God gave us the ability to do and all of our reasoning capacity is to realize that there's a God who's greater than us, who wants to reveal and communicate some things to us, and that if we understand what He would want, and we would trust that He only wants the best for our life, then we'll trust Him with all our heart and not lean to our own understanding. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but then it says, the ends thereof are the ways of death. If you tried to play God and determine what's right and what's best for your life based on your own understanding, you have a limited understanding. But if you'll learn some understanding that God has, you'll understand the beginning from the end. You'll understand the whole scheme of things and where you fit in. And then when you'll trust God, you'll take that understanding and make a practical application of wisdom to trust God, then He's going to direct your paths. And He'll direct your paths in righteousness. He'll direct your paths, as the Bible talks about in this age of grace, that you'll be filled with the fruits of righteousness. And those fruits are only going to bring blessing into your life, bring peace into your life, bring contentment into your life. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. So the path that God gives us is fruitful, but you got to get to the point where you understand those things. Now Solomon, God gave him this wisdom. And I'd like you to just understand something, and that the Bible talks about the wisdom of Solomon, and there's something special here. 1 Kings chapter 3 is where Solomon was left as king of the nation of Israel. He followed his father David. And it was a great task. And Solomon was fearful of being able to lead the nation of Israel. And so he prayed and he said, O Lord my God, Thou hast made Thy servant king instead of David Thy father. And I am but a little child, and I know not how to go out or to come in. I don't know what paths to walk, Solomon said. And Thy servant is in the midst of the people which Thou hast chosen, a great people, and cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. Now here's Solomon, king. He's got all the riches he wants, but there's a greater richer that he wants than money. He prays to God and says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon had asked this thing. And the Lord said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast thou asked life for thine enemies, but thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. So out of all men, God said, Solomon, you've asked the thing, and he goes on to tell him, because you asked the right thing, I'm going to give you everything else too. I'm going to give you fame, and I'm going to give you riches, and I'm going to give you victory over your enemies. And Solomon got it all. But he asked the right thing that honored the Lord, because he turned to the Lord and he asked for understanding, and God said, I filled your heart with wisdom. God gives wisdom. And the wisdom comes from an understanding first, and then that understanding, you begin to know how to apply truth. Now that wisdom is demonstrated in the book of Kings, that two women were fighting over a child. One was a harlot, and the Bible says, then came two women that were harlots unto the king, and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in a house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. So both these women had children. And it came to pass that the third day after I was delivered, that the woman delivered also, and there was also a stranger with us in the house. There was no stranger with us, save we two in the house. And the women's children died, and this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thy handmaiden slept and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And so you get the understanding here. Two women living in a house together, both have children about the same time. They help each other deliver the child. They're the only two that know what their children look like. And now the one lady lays over and smothers her child. So she takes her child, places it with the other woman, and takes the live baby and takes it unto herself and claims that that's her child. Now they come to Solomon for judgment. And he's got to discern who's the real mother. Now, if there's no witnesses, how do you know who's saying it? They're both arguing that the child is theirs. Well, Solomon solves it this way in verse 23. Then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before Solomon, and the king said, divide the child in two, and give half to one and half to the other. So we can't decide who the child is. Let's cut the baby in half and give each half to a mother. Well, it says, then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son, and said, O Lord, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And it says, and all Israel heard the judgment, which the king had judged, and they feared the king, and they saw the wisdom that God gave, that God was in him to do judgment. So in this is an illustration of the great wisdom of God. Solomon knows some things. There's no witness there, but he knows the heart of a mother. And he knows that all he's got to do is challenge the mother's heart with the death of the child, and the mother would risk her own heartbreak to give up the child, just to allow the child live if she has to do that. So because Solomon has some understanding, he applied wisdom. And in that wisdom makes an order for the child to be divided. And sure enough, it distinguishes between who the enemy was and who the real mother was. And as a result of that, Solomon was able to reconcile the mother with the true son. And therefore solve this. The other thing that happened is all the nation of Israel saw the wisdom of Solomon. Such boldness. What if no one said, don't do it this way? What would have happened? Solomon knew what would have happened, because he had the wisdom to know the heart of people, and therefore was able to go ahead and act like he was going to make this judgment. And then what happened is all of Israel realizes, boy, God has put wisdom in the heart of Solomon. Now you look at all that, and you know, I see something about this. You could read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that Paul says that he preaches the wisdom of God in a mystery. The Apostle Paul came to us and he preached the cross, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. The Bible tells us that the Apostle Paul came and preached to us how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again the third day. And Paul calls that gospel, that the salvation of our soul by the death of Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God. And you know, I think back here about Solomon. And I see Solomon using the great wisdom that he had to be able to reconcile a mother, a parent, with a son. And he was able to reconcile two people, and at the same time, not only reconcile two people, but to divide an enemy from someone who was true, and at the same time become a testimony of his great wisdom and right to rule over the people. God did the same thing. There's an enemy in this world who is Satan. And there is a battle between God and Satan for you and my soul. And Jesus Christ was God's Son who came into the world. And God allowed His Son to be slain. Now this Son didn't get slain. But God allowed His Son to be slain to make a division in this world of who is the true people who want the truth of God and the wisdom of God and the fellowship of God for all eternity, and who in this world doesn't want anything to do with God. Because, you know, the preaching of Jesus Christ causes division. There's those who will come and believe what Jesus Christ did and will trust Him, and there's a reconciliation that takes place through the blood of Jesus Christ. Those who believe are reconciled to God the Father. And those who will not believe, they are the enemy. They are the ones that God is dividing from this world who do not want to put their trust in Him. The great wisdom of God is that God found a way through a death of a son to reconcile people unto Himself and to expose those who do not want to be a part of God's eternal plan and to separate them and to get rid of the enemy. And all the time, people look back and now look at the wisdom of God and say, boy, God, through the death of Jesus Christ, provided salvation. You know, it says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, that if the princes of this world had known what God was accomplishing, then they would never crucify the Lord of glory. That cross was the wisdom of God. Satan thought he was destroying Jesus Christ, but what it was is that he was helping God provide salvation to those who would believe. And so the same wisdom that Solomon had was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ and becomes the wisdom of God in this world for people to be saved. And you know what that demonstrates? That we can trust God to want the best for us. We can trust God to be the one who ought to rule over us, because who has wisdom like God has? And just like Israel decided Solomon should rule over them, you and I ought to first come to Jesus Christ as our Savior and trust Him to be our Savior and be reconciled to God. And then from that point on, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths.
Thank you for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we hope this program has been enlightening to you. Our desire is to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 810-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 810-778-5032. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this same time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe.